Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today we are extremely delighted to welcome Father Roger Landry. He is a priest of the Diocese of Fall River, Massachusetts, and currently serves as the campus chaplain for Columbia University. He is also an author, a speaker, and preacher. And today he's going to be sharing with us about the radical gender ideology and its negative effects on the family, society, and the church. You could go to his website, catholicpreaching.com. And we're excited to have Father Landry with us today and a conversation that needs to be had. Yeah. And we've all been called to live in a time such as this and to be light and truth and hope.
And today is also a special day for a number of birthdays.
Yes.
For my Aunt Millie Pinto and for Millie Wright. Millie Wright is 5 years old, one of our grandchildren. Aunt Millie is 105. Both born on the same day. So Aunt Millie, happy birthday to you. We love you dearly. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren love you dearly. You bring such joy into our lives. We thank God for your 105 years. You are beautiful. You are humorous. You are a woman of faith, a woman of perseverance. Someone who's been a widow for over 60 years, as you lost your husband in an accident, Mario, years back. You had to go back to work. You did that. Mm. You're just a marvelous woman. You're an example to all of us. You have a great and wonderful birthday from all of us here at EWTN, throughout the country and the world. Happy birthday. We love you. Millie.
And then it was Amelia. Amelia is the youngest of our 17 grandchildren. And Amelia turned 5 yesterday, and she has 7 other brothers and sisters, today. Okay. And so they all came. We had a beautiful celebration. Amelia is in love with horses, and so it was a rodeo theme for the birthday. And so she is called Millie, and she is the baby of the family, and we all had a beautiful time celebrating them. And it's good to be alive, whether we're 105 or we're 5. Each day is a gift from God. And what we do and think and how we love and how we be is our gift back to our
Absolutely.
Lord.
Absolutely. Life, marriage, and family is God's plan to transform the world. And we just gave you a little taste of it. God bless you and your family. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today we're delighted to have Father Roger Landry with us. He is a priest of the Diocese of Fall River, Massachusetts, and he currently serves as the campus chaplain for Columbia University. He is an author and a speaker and a preacher, and today he will be sharing with us about radical gender ideology and its negative effects on the family and society and the church. And we have tried to get Father Landry on for a long time, and he's a very busy man. And the best that we could do with his schedule is to Skype him. But we said we'll have him any way we can have
Absolutely.
Him. Skyping sounds great.
He's doing the Lord's work.
That's right. You could go to catholicpreaching.com and find out more about Father and the great work that he's doing. Well, Father, welcome to At Home with Jim and Joy. We're delighted to have you. And first, we want you to tell our family a little bit about yourself, your journey, your call to the priesthood, and then the great work that God has called you to.
It's great to be with you, Joy and Jim. I am presently the campus Catholic chaplain at Columbia University, which allows me the privilege to work with so many bright Catholics here on campus, a lot of converts who are coming on in. It's really beautiful work. But I'm a priest of Massachusetts. I come from a family, thanks be to God, my parents, Midge and Roger, are still very much involved in my life and the life of my 3 brothers and sisters and my seven nieces and nephews in Lowell, Massachusetts, is where I'm from. Prior to being here at Columbia, one of the things that informs my work in gender theory is my service for the Holy See's permanent observer mission to the United Nations in New York, where it was just at the beginning of the international communities trying to push what Pope Francis decries as gender ideology on the international community. So I had to help in the church's response there. And since then, once I've left the service of the Holy See in 2022 and come to Columbia, I recognize that what's super important is to be able to give the good news of who we are, made in God's image and likeness, in order to inoculate people today on campus from the ravages of an ideology that will have great harm on their own self-identity, as well as their formation of their own families, and in fact, almost every aspect of their life and career. So it's a very important topic that we're describing, and a topic on which Jesus has spoken very clearly about who we are in the church, continuing Jesus' mission, all the way down to the 266th Peter, Pope Francis, have been very clear so that we will always be able to unite truth and charity.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a beautiful opening statement. It really does give us hope without negating the dangers of gender ideology, gender theory. And that was where I read about your work in this area maybe a year or two ago. And I thought you just gave a great summary of the key issues of biological, sexuality, immutable traits and characteristics that we're given through the natural order, through our Lord, made in the image and likeness of God, and the dangers of gender ideology, gender theory. And you kind of spoke that through. And then you traced a lot about Pope Francis. We've come out with a new document here recently, but you traced it all through that time and kind of some very clear statements that he's made about this. And maybe you even tracked Bishop Burbidge, I think it is. So why don't you just share with us some, there may be people that don't even know what you mean by gender ideology, gender theory, the transsexual, and all this, but you mentioned the dangers. What are the dangers as you see them to the human person, to marriage, the family, to culture?
Thank you, Jim. It's so important for us to know who we are. And we see who we are and who have been made to be in the first chapter of the Bible, when God makes us in his own image. And what do we see there? God makes us body and soul. God makes us male and female. And the foremost image of who we are in God's image and likeness is the family, that two people can love each other so much that their love can generate a third person. Just like immaterially and eternally, God the Father and God the Son's love spirated, we call it in theology, led forth the Holy Spirit. And so gender ideology attacks each of those three basic components of our identity. So it attacks that we're body and soul, okay, because it really wants to deny that our body is super important. The second is it attacks our complementarity as male and female, no longer thinking that our biological sex matters all that much. It's just who we think we are, which is what they call identity, what our impression of who we are is. And then third, it negates the whole meaning of the human body and the human person toward the nuptial dimension of our existence, which is that we've been made to be a gift of love to others. And the way most people live out that gift is in marriage. And gender ideology attacks the very foundation of marriage because it attacks the complementarity between men and women. So those are the stakes involved. Yes. It gets right to the heart of who we are. And then over the course of time, it does a lot of harm to individuals. I want to just start with our children. You know, a lot of the times when kids go to preschool today and kindergarten in the elementary school grades, they are being asked to declare what their gender identity is. Now, I don't know about your grandkids, Jim and Joy, but my nieces and nephews, when they were that age, had no idea what the word gender was, not to mention they couldn't spell it. Mm-hmm. And now they're being asked to define who they are. And that's a time in which a lot of girls like to hang out with girls rather than boys. Boys like to hang out with other boys rather than girls. And so there's a danger that they might begin to think that, okay, I might not be like other boys, I might not be like other girls, and they're vulnerable to believing that they're a boy trapped in a girl's body, a girl trapped in a boy's body, et cetera. And it gets a little worse from there, that it's not just thinking that there are two different genders. Some people say that there are 54 genders, some 68. The most common today is 72. Some say that there are hundreds. And if we can't understand who we are as male and female, made in God's image and likeness, ordered toward marriage, body and soul, then almost everything else about who we are is going to be confused too. Yeah. And so that's why Pope Francis and before him Pope Benedict have spoken up very clearly about the ideology of gender theory and its damage. While we will always accompany those who suffer from thinking that, for example, they're a man trapped in a woman's body or vice versa, we've always got to trust them with love. At the same time, we have to make sure that this intellectual child abuse doesn't happen with regard to our children, confusing them about who they are, who others are, and who the human person is in God's image.
Well, you know, Father, you articulated that extremely well, and our culture so needs to hear it. You know, I can remember, I'm old, back in the 60s when, you know, you'd go to your parents and, like, you know, you had to leave home because you had to go find out who you were. And so, but, you know, you were 18, 19, and your parents would say, well, just ask us and we'll tell you who you are. We know who you are. You're bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. You've come from us. But now this thing is so demonic and it's so fast speed coming into our culture. And it's really about destroying the image of God in the person. You know, it's like fruit from the same tree of abortion. If I can't kill you in your mother's womb, then when you are alive, I will destroy the image of God that is on you and confuse you so that you don't even know who you are. And now we have a culture that is just screaming that all of a sudden we woke up and nobody knows who we are anymore, not only if we're male or female, or even if we want to get married. Like, people don't even want to get married because we work at a pregnancy medical center and people don't even want to have children. They're like, I don't want to get married and I don't even want to have children. And so there you are on a college campus. Our average client is between the ages of 19 and 24. And we're seeing this too in this confusion. What is your hope for this culture that is just like drifting out to sea and believing this great lie?
I'm actually very hopeful with regard to this as the lowest point of a pattern that started in 1968. And now I think it's going to be the smelling salt to wake up a sleeping giant. So back in 1968, that's when the sexual revolution started to happen. And we changed the meaning of sex as a verb. No longer was it meant to be for love and life within a marriage, within a commitment for life, but it was now going to be a contact sport. Mm-hmm. Now it was going to be ripped of its meaning. And once we changed what sex meant as a verb, eventually we would change what sex means as a noun. Mm-hmm. And so if a woman no longer meant someone who was able to conceive and bear life within, if a man no longer had a paternal meaning to his masculinity, then who is man? Who is woman? And it got so bad that my classmate from Harvard, class of 1992, now Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, when she was asked in her Supreme Court justice hearings by the U.S. Senate, could you define who a woman was, said, I'm not a biologist. This is one of the people who are going to be making decisions for our country. So what is our hope during this time? When our culture has gotten so low that it's lost its common sense about who we are as men and women, what the purpose of a man and a woman is, what marriage is, et cetera, then, and, you know, beyond that, it has gotten to the point where it's trying to force us all to violate that ancient fable of Hans Christian Andersen, the emperor has new clothes, and no longer be able to speak the truth about who's a boy or who's a girl. Once we've reached that level, we're going to have a reaction that I think will question the whole way we got here. And thanks be to God, we have seen that beginning of the reaction in places of Europe that are more advanced in terms of the fallout from the sexual revolution. We saw it even last week in the United Kingdom, where they published a report against all the steps that lead to gender reassignment surgery. So they've spoken out against puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, et cetera. In Finland, in Norway, in Denmark, they're beginning to slam on the brakes of the whole culture that says that somebody who is a boy who thinks he's trapped in a girl's body and vice versa is not the new normal, but is somebody who needs our help and our compassion and the light of the truth. And they're taking a lead on this. And I think we're only 5 or 10 years away for that sanity to return to the United States too. Oh.
Well, from your words and lips to God's ears and to the church and to the entire culture in America and throughout the world, you know, you started off in our conversation and you say, I want to express my concern about children and their need to be affirmed in their sex, in who they are. We see this even with Adam and Eve at the beginning where you went, that Adam was created first and Eve then is created. And she's, to me, it looks like she just kind of appears and is there. She may have been wondering who she is. And Adam looks at her and says, you're bone of my bone. You're flesh of my flesh. You are Isha, you are woman. I'm man, you are woman. And so he gets to affirm the essence of her being, and she comes into a fullness. Oh, gee, I'm not a planet, I'm not an animal, I'm not you, who am I? You are a woman from me. And then the parents get to do that with their children, to affirm them, their masculinity, their femininity, getting to this need to be clear, to affirm to our girls, our boys, our wives, who they are, instead of leaving it up to, well, you're gonna have to determine who you are. You're gonna have to say if you're male or female. This is really abusive. This is, as Joy said, whether people understand or not, this is really demonic what's going on here. Might not want to just bring that up in the midst of a conversation, you know, what you're doing is demonic, but behind it, it really, really is. Because the whole idea of the Lord is to know the joy of being made in the image and likeness of God and to model the Trinity as men and as women, affirming one another. And from that, Lord willing, by God's grace, will come a child. And then we kind of bear the mark of the Trinity within us. It's very abusive, painful. No wonder why we have so much depression among our young people, despair, drugs, suicidal thoughts. Suicide itself. Speak to that, Father.
So I think you're right about the essential need for us to affirm the young in their identity. The pathway to this type of gender confusion begins with what we call gender childhood nonconformity, where they just don't really seem to fit in with others like them. That's a time for us to intervene rather than to let them at that young, tender age and in their confusion accelerate down that path. Mm. So traditionally, up until the advent of social media, most gender disorder was with young kids, mainly boys. It was 2-to-1 for boys who kind of identified more with girls. Since the advent of social media, since 2013, that's now totally flipped upside down, and it's now 2-to-1 girls to boys, and it's exploding off the charts such that almost 10% of young people today think they're LGBTQ, right? And one of the reasons for that is the transition to through puberty, that many girls, when their bodies start to change, don't know quite how to deal with it psychologically. They begin not to like some of those changes. They look to try to escape puberty. And as a result of that, when there's the opportunity for puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, et cetera, they're super vulnerable. most of the time when boys hit puberty, they're getting stronger, they're getting taller, they're growing facial hair, they're doing things that they don't so much mind. But we need to intervene in both of those time periods. So for young boys, as well as for teenage girls, with the truth of who they are and that they're beautiful and that they're good and that there may be these ordinary struggles that people have gone through in every generation, but at the same time, affirm who they are, because these are very vulnerable periods.
Father, thank you so much. We're going to hold you over for the final segment. So we'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. We're speaking about the truth of biological sex, of the way God intended it to be, and the dangers of gender ideology, gender theory. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Welcome back. We continue our wonderful conversation with Father Landry. So, Father, let's begin to share. We only have about 3.5 minutes or so, but you've been tracking statements from the Vatican, Pope Francis in particular. We know a recent document has come out. If you want to start there, fine. If not, there's been a lot of information that he's been sharing, statements that he's made, other bishops. What are they saying to us? How are they equipping us for this time?
They really are sharing the good news in a prophetic way. The first pope to speak about this was when it really began to come to the surface was Pope Benedict. But since the beginning of his papacy over the last 11 years, Pope Francis has been super strong and clear. In his document on the family, Amoris Laetitia, he spoke about the damage to the family that would come from gender ideology. In his beautiful document on caring for a common home, Laudato Si, on the environment, he likewise said that the first thing in a human ecology is to accept the way we're made as creatures, male and female. And then he's gone on with various other statements in which he has taught with similar clarity. Just on April 8th, the Vatican published a document called Dignitas Infinita, Infinite Dignity, about various forms of human dignity, huge document in its own right, super important in international relations. But one of the parts of that document was about gender theory and sex changes. And he said that gender theory is contrary to the dignity of who we are as human persons, and sex changes work against the human body in a way that attacks our dignity rather than advances or defends it. And so we're so grateful for the Holy Father's clarity here, in which he shows these topics that we've been discussing today within their much broader context of protecting and enhancing the dignity we've received by God. And it hasn't just been the Vatican. There have been many bishops here in the United States who have similarly been prophetic. Bishop Burbidge, who you mentioned a little bit earlier, the Bishop of Arlington, Virginia, put out a tremendous statement in 2021 that I'd urge everybody to use the internet to find, because in typical American language, he tackled all the questions that are coming up, especially in terms of education, in terms of the pronouns we need to use, in terms of what families can do positively. And so I would recommend that to everybody if you're looking for really practical help of how to strengthen your own family, first protecting them from some of these ideas, but then also making the members of the families apostles of this good news about who we are.
Yes. And that is our call, to be witnesses, right? And not to be repelled by it, but to enter in with great love and with great hope and with great truth.
Father Landry, thank you so much for being with us today and for continuing this conversation about the dangers of gender ideology, gender theory, and the greatness and the wonder of biological sexuality created by God, immutable traits and characteristics that are beautiful, that are complementarity. So God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.